WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
What's that all about? You got the wrong open, played the wrong open for me. Well, it's Tuesday. Hey, good afternoon once again, everyone. Dave Malarkey with you on the It's Your Turn program today. Hey, we have quite a varied program. We're going to be chatting, first of all, in just a moment or so, with one of the assistant editors of the Old Farmer's Almanac. The new one is out for 2020, and of course, the first thing everybody wants to know is, what's the prediction for the coming winter in the Old Farmer's Almanac? So we'll talk about that with Ben Kilbride in just a moment or so. There's also lots of other stuff in the almanac, by the way. Kind of a fun read. You don't sit down and read it cover to cover. You just keep it lying around, pick it up every once in a while. The original Old Farmer's Almanac. This is the one that goes way back to colonial times, or thereabouts. So we'll talk to Ben Kilbride in just a moment or so. Also coming up on the program today, we're going to chat for a few minutes about ovarian cancer. What is it? What are some of the symptoms? And so on and so forth. Nafara Nefertari Moore will be with us to talk about that. And then still more guests later on the program today. Stan Kosciuszko, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, along with Charlie Johns and Mark Buchik. So, a lot of guests coming up on the It's Your Turn program today. We are going to take one quick break, one commercial message, and then we'll be chatting with Ben Kilbride of the original Old Farmer's Almanac. So stick around. We'll be back to talk with Ben in just a moment.
Auto accidents can be a terrifying experience. Injuries can occur at an impact of just 2 to 3 miles per hour. If you've had an accident, it's time to visit Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center. Doctors Lucas and Detweiler specialize in treating accident-related injuries from whiplash, soft tissue pain, and headaches to shoulder and arm pain, reduced range of motion, and disc damage. Let the professionals at Applewood Chiropractic provide you with the necessary benefits to aid you in your healing process. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thorn Apple Drive in Butler. Visit applewoodchiro.com.
Well, we do it every year, folks, here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey, and we're going to be talking with folks from the Old Farmer's Almanac here today to see in particular what they've got in store for our winter forecast, but also always a lot of other great features, too. Our guest joins us by telephone. He is Ben Kilbride, assistant editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac. Ben, nice to have you with us here today.
Thanks, Dave.
The original Farmer's Almanac, we might point out. There are some imitators. There are some interlopers. What do we look for when we're looking for the Old Farmer's Almanac, the original, Ben? Yellow cover, right?
Yeah, yellow cover. Picture of Benjamin Franklin and Robert B. Thomas on the front.
Mm-hmm. So that's the original. That's the one that goes, gosh, I don't know, how far back does the Old Farmer's Almanac go, Ben?
1792, almost as old as the United States.
My goodness, 1792. Wow. George Washington would have been president then.
He was.
You mentioned Robert Thomas. Was he the founder?
Yeah, yeah, he was the founder. He was a farmer, and he decided that he had a knack for predicting weather and decided to spread that knowledge around.
And where was he? What part of the country, the young country, would Robert Thomas have been in? New England?
Yeah, yeah, he lived in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. You also have a little picture of Ben Franklin on the cover. We like to claim Ben, you know, here in Pennsylvania because he spent much of his life in Philadelphia, but if I remember my history correctly, Ben Franklin was actually born in New England, too, right? In Massachusetts, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Well, we're still claiming him here in Pennsylvania. So.
Yeah, I mean, where somebody leaves their mark is really that's their home place.
Where is the Old Farmer's Almanac published, Ben?
It's published in Dublin, New Hampshire, which is in the southwestern corner.
Beautiful state. I have visited your state on a number of occasions for holidays, and I sometimes dream about being in the White Mountains again.
I was just up there recently. It's always really gorgeous.
Ah, the Presidential Range, Mount Washington. Where else have I been up there? I've been there several times. Franconia Notch, North Conway, bustling place. Kankamangus Highway, am I remembering that correctly, the Kankamangus Highway?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, that's a great place to see the leaves change.
Oh, yeah. We did it one year, too. Well, listen, let's talk about enough about New England. Let's talk about the Old Farmer's Almanac and what everybody wants to know straight away. What are the predictions for the coming winter from the Old Farmer's Almanac? We're a little bit tough, Ben, because I always look at your regions, and you do many regions in the United States. And here north of Pittsburgh, we're kind of right on the border. We're a little bit Ohio Valley, we're a little bit Appalachia, we're a little bit lower Great Lakes. I think the Ohio Valley would probably be the closest for us. What are we talking about in terms of this winter for the Ohio Valley?
Yeah, so you are in a pretty tight spot there, but both the Appalachian and Ohio Valley regions have pretty similar predictions this year, so I think you'll actually have a pretty accurate forecast. You're going to be looking for a little bit warmer of a winter. Still going to be winter, but on average, temperatures will be a little bit higher. And you're going to be looking for slightly above normal snowfall and a little bit more rainy than normal. So expect a good mix of everything.
Well, I like the first part of that forecast, above normal temperatures. That's good news.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not one to like to bundle up, then it's going to be a good winter for that.
But there could be slightly higher levels of precipitation, either snow or chilly rain. To be honest with you, Ben, if it's going to have precip, I'd rather have the wet snow, in the wintertime.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's like 40 different kinds of icy rain and snow mixes out there, and I think this is a good winter to make sure you've got good winter tires.
My evidence is strictly anecdotal, but it seems to me over the past decade or so, even more, our winter weather is later and later arriving here in western Pennsylvania. I mean, when I was a kid, I can remember, you'd often have snow at Thanksgiving and certainly by Christmas. In recent years, we've only been dreaming of a white Christmas here in Pennsylvania. It's become rather rare. Is that the case in other parts of the country, too?
It's actually very, it really depends. It's kind of all over the place. And that's really what's happening is we're getting more drastic kinds of weather and not quite as even, so it's pretty hard to predict that kind of stuff. So we have to take that into account. And each year it's changing.
Well, it's not exactly like Los Angeles or Miami around here at Christmas time.
No, not exactly.
We've had a lot of brown Christmases in recent years. Let's talk a little bit about what else is in the Old Farmer's Almanac. You always have some fascinating features, and there is a wonderful lengthy article with some beautiful color pictures about donkeys this year. Tell us about that, Ben Kilbride. Donkeys.
Sure. So, donkeys often are kind of the brunt of a lot of jokes, which is kind of unfortunate because they're extremely intelligent creatures. And overall, we just wanted people to kind of realize that and look a little bit closer at them. And anyone who's owned one can tell you that they are extremely intelligent and love to be, social. So if you ever get a donkey, you don't want to get one. You need to get two.
Hmm. Donkeys are not just horses with big ears. I mean, they're related, but it's a separate breed, right?
Yeah, yeah, they are.
So they are different physically, intellectually, and even emotionally from horses?
Yeah, yeah, they are.
Well, next time you see a donkey, don't think it's just a horse with big ears. They're a different kind of animal, and there's a lovely story on, lengthy story on it, in the new edition, the 2020 edition of Old Farmer's Almanac. Boy, Ben, it sounds goofy, doesn't it, saying the new year is 2020.
Yeah, we actually have an interesting article to kind of work into that, which is, 2020 is hindsight, but 2020 is also the perfect vision, or at least average vision. So we have a good article about, how the whole eye test came about and what 2020 actually means, which is 2020 is for 20 feet, somebody who has, say, 20/30 vision has to see or can see at 20 feet what a normal person could see at 30 feet.
Well, those are some of the facts that you learn by browsing through the old Farmer's Almanac, the original. And by the way, you don't sit down and read it cover to cover. You leave it, in a place where you can pick it up every once in a while and glance. You have a good story on where glaciers stopped. Ben Kilbride, we're very familiar with that here in our area. We're just north of Pittsburgh. And back in the most recent ice age, the southern border of the Great Glacier was right in our area. In fact, we have a huge state park in our county, Moraine State Park, named after the moraine, the glacial moraine, the rocks that were left behind when the glaciers retreated. But that's the case really all over the upper Midwest and the northeastern states, right, where glaciers stopped?
Yep, absolutely, and that's a pretty signature look of the mountains, which are very much more rounded opposed to if you go west into like the Rockies, it's extremely sharp, pointy mountains.
You still have the, I love to browse through the calendar pages. Are they still in the new almanac?
Oh, yeah, every year. That's some of our most important information, containing the length of day, sunrise, sunset, moon phases, astronomical placements, and also pretty important is the sky watch, which you can look at any month of the year and see what the, what planets to be looking for, what stars to be looking for at night.
Another feature in the 2020 edition of the Old Farmer's Almanac, trends for the coming year. Can you mention a couple of those, Ben?
Yeah, absolutely. So every year we do a huge section on trends, and there's always some really interesting ones in there, like high-tech pet products this year, and I think last year as well. They're becoming more popular. I think people who have jobs that keep them away from home and they need to leave their pets at home often go for a lot of high-tech pet products, like things that measure food and water consumption, or like, ball launchers, or even webcams to watch their pet at home from the office.
Huh. High-tech healthcare for pets. I can remember when I was a kid, when I started cutting lawns, my first job, we just had a lawnmower. Nobody wore ear protection when they were cutting the grass or doing other activities with a chainsaw or a garden tractor. Not these days. Seems like everybody's wearing ear protection. You have a feature article in the Almanac on noise and how it's bad for our health.
Yeah. So that's actually a pretty good one. And there's also been a lot of laws about noise, and since 1700s, 1800s, where as technology has advanced, there's been more noise, and then society kind of has to adapt to that to learn how to deal with it. And it is kind of unhealthy for us to have a lot of noise. There's a lot of health issues that have been related to excessive noise, like heart conditions and mental well-being.
Always good tips on gardening and growing vegetables. You have a nice feature on growing tomatoes in a fraction of the space. In fact, there's a very nice color picture there of tomato plants growing in a pot.
You can grow dwarf tomatoes. They're about a third the size of a normal plant, but you can get full-size fruit.
And did you know, listeners, that there is a best day of the week to eat a tomato? I didn't know that either, but it's in the 2020 edition of the Old Farmer's Almanac. You can also learn how your toes are giving you away. And you've got a story on homemade pain relievers, too, Ben Kilbride, homemade pain relievers.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't want to go to the pharmacy, we've got a great story on how to mix up your own pain relievers for your neck or sore muscles, just out of, you know, a few simple ingredients and some herbs that you can even harvest from outdoors.
A couple of more questions for Ben Kilbride, assistant editor for the Old Farmer's Almanac. You recently have published a kids edition as well. Do you have that again this year, Ben?
Yeah, we do. So we that comes out every 2 years, and it's a really great edition this time. We like to say that it's, you know, it's for kids, but adults are very much welcome to read it as well. And often we'll find, you know, we get them for kids, and then the parents are picking them up just as often.
Where can you find the Old Farmer's Almanac? Pretty much newsstands, supermarkets, anywhere you find books, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want a more specific place, you can go to almanac.com/where to buy, and we'll give you a list of different local places by typing in your zip code, or you, a couple of links to purchase it online, both physical or digital editions.
And there are other things, too. There's an Old Farmer's Almanac Vegetable Gardener's Handbook, but that doesn't come out until late winter or spring. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it should be coming out, I think, mid-November, if I'm correct. And that's actually going to be a really great book. We realized there's a lot of beginner gardeners out there, and we wanted to get a guide that could work you through, you know, a variety of different common vegetables and every possible issue that you could come, you know, that you might have while growing them.
Listeners, if I ask you what is North America's oldest continuously published periodical, the answer would be the Old Farmer's Almanac, founded in 1792. And the 2020 edition of the Old Farmer's Almanac is now available everywhere. Ben Kilbride is an assistant editor, and he's been our guest here on It's Your Turn. Ben, good to talk with you today, and let's stay as warm as we possibly can during the coming winter. How's that?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ben. Good to talk with you. So long.
Thank you. Bye.
It's Butler's newest funeral home. That's right, the Butler area's newest funeral home. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located 140 Newcastle Road. That's about halfway up Newcastle Hill here in Butler. They are the first and only value-designed funeral home built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles and types and levels of services that others are either not able or willing to offer. And they have the ability to match every want, every need, every desire, while continuing to understand that cost matters. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home. They're local. It's really an entirely new idea. Twice the service at half the cost. Hometown guy, hometown services, hometown prices. More options, including such things as pre-funding, pre-arrangements, and a transfer of arrangements made with another facility. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services. Their licensed director is always involved. They never use a third-party answering service. Call for more information, or perhaps to arrange for pre-arrangement. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home. Coming up on the segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, listeners, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about ovarian cancer. Our guest joins us by telephone today, Nefertari Moore, is a native of Brooklyn, and she is also an ambassador in the SHARE Ambassador Program. Can you tell us, first of all, what is SHARE? What's this program all about, Nefertari?
SHARE's program is all about helping women living with breast and ovarian cancer, you know, educating them, supporting them by, you know, facilitating support groups,
You are an ambassador. You are a survivor yourself, are you not?
Yes, I am a survivor. I'm an ovarian cancer survivor as well as a two-time uterine cancer survivor.
So we hear an awful lot about breast cancer these days, not so much about ovarian cancer. Is it less frequent?
I wouldn't say that it's less frequent. I think it just doesn't go as diagnosed as much or as quickly as breast cancer.
Oh, I see. Well, let's talk a little bit then about are there any symptoms of ovarian cancer that women should know about?
There are symptoms, and at times some of the symptoms for ovarian cancer can mimic the symptoms of other diseases. But some of the symptoms could be are bloating and pelvic pain. Well, so I am a person who didn't have any symptoms. So I didn't know that I had ovarian cancer until I went to my oncologist for a routine checkup, and it was found.
Are there some women who are more at risk for ovarian cancer than others?
Well, yeah, you can have women who are more overweight, African-American women, are more at risk. Women who've had like previous cancers, as well as breast cancer and colorectal cancer.
Is there a link between ovarian cancer and other cancers, breast cancer, for example?
There's a link between, well, according to my genetics counselor, she said there is a link between breast cancer and colorectal cancer.
Does it sometimes run in families?
Well, there's been some information out there saying, at first there was information saying that it could be genetic, and then there are other studies that say that it doesn't have to be hereditary.
Let's talk a little bit about diagnosis. You said you didn't have any symptoms whatsoever. How do doctors diagnose ovarian cancer?
Well, it's hard to diagnose. What they did was they performed an ultrasound on me, and they could see that my left ovary was filled with some fluid, and they suspected that it was ovarian cancer, but they didn't know for sure until they performed surgery, the oophorectomy.
You went into remission. Are you still in remission?
Right now I'm in remission. I've been in remission for just over a year now.
Talk about hormone replacement therapy. There have been some people that think that might increase the risk for ovarian cancer. Is there any truth to that, or don't we know for sure?
Yeah, there is some truth to hormone replacement therapy. I think the more estrogen that you have in your body, the easier it is, you know, to be diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
I've seen some TV commercials that suggest that the use of talcum powder may increase the risk of ovarian cancer. Is that indeed the case?
Yes, there is. There is a case. There's been some infomercials, commercials, information out there where the use of talcum powder, baby powder, can increase your chances in getting ovarian cancer.
Are there specialists who deal with the ovarian cancer, even specialists within the field of oncology?
Well, you have specialists is the oncologist who deals with your particular cancer. And you have a GYN oncologist that would deal with ovarian cancer.
Talk about endometriosis. I understand that that's one of the things that women have to be aware of. Can that lead to ovarian cancer? Is that a risk factor?
In my case, it was a risk factor because that's what I started out with. In 2013, I was diagnosed with uterine cancer, which is also known as endometrial cancer. And I was in treatment, not with chemotherapy, but with a progesterone called Megase. And I was on it for about 8 months. And then my cancer went into remission. And then 8 months later, 8 or 9 months later, in April of 2015, I was diagnosed once again with uterine cancer. And it was after that that I made the decision on having a hysterectomy. But when I had the hysterectomy, they didn't take out my ovaries or the fallopian tubes. They just removed my uterus. So then I guess that increased my chances of in getting ovarian cancer.
What about ovarian cysts? I don't know much about them. I've heard about them. Can they indicate ovarian cancer cysts?
They can indicate ovarian cysts. Cysts can increase your chances of, it could be a symptom of ovarian cancer. When you have like a cyst outside or inside, you know, the tubes, those could be signs of ovarian cancer.
We're talking with Nefertari Moore. She is an ambassador in the SHARE Ambassador Program. SHARE is an organization that helps support women with breast and ovarian cancer. What about fertility drugs? They're in the news a lot these days. Does that increase the risk of developing ovarian cancer if a woman is taking fertility drugs?
Yeah, it can be. It can be a risk factor when you're taking fertility drugs because, again, you're getting more estrogen is being put into your body.
I suppose this is like many other cancers, that early diagnosis makes it much, much easier to deal with. Is that the case?
Yes. The sooner you're diagnosed, the better, you know, your chances of surviving ovarian cancer.
Mm-hmm. So you want to keep an eye on that, and women should
yes.
be very much aware of the symptoms. But even more importantly, they should be aware that sometimes there are no visible symptoms.
Right, exactly.
You, for example.
Because as I said, I didn't have any symptoms. If I wasn't a person who kept up on my doctor's appointment, then maybe I wouldn't have known. Maybe I wouldn't be sitting here, you know, talking to you today.
Mm-hmm. I understand if you're looking for any good news at all when you're dealing with this, the American Cancer Society says that the incidence of ovarian cancer seems to be decreasing a little bit in recent years. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't heard about that.
That was somewhat promising news, the American Cancer Society noting that the overall diagnosis rate of ovarian cancer has fallen over the past 20 years. So you're doing all right, Nefertari Moore? You're okay now?
Yes, I just saw my oncologist last week, Monday, April 26th, for an exam, and my exam went well, and I also had a blood test, which is called a CA-125, and they're testing the cancer antigens in your blood, and that came back as a 4, so I'm doing much better than I was doing last year. So,
been a lot of buzz recently about consumer genetic testing. There's like 23andMe and so on. But I understand that doesn't test for everything. That only tests for a few mutations. You should check with your physician about that, I suppose, huh?
Right, yes. I've had, I didn't do the 23andMe. What I did was I went to New York Presbyterian, while Cornell is where my oncology team is,
mm-hmm.
and they had me go see a genetics counselor, and she tests me for any other cancers that may be hereditary or that I may be susceptible to. Mm. And I didn't really come back with any mutations, but they did tell me to watch out for colorectal cancer, because that can also be a link with ovarian cancer. Mm.
Well, some good information that you offer to our listeners. Nefertari Moore, who's an ambassador for the SHARE organization. Nice to talk with you today. Thanks for sharing the information with our listeners.
Thanks for allowing me to share, and thanks for talking to you.
All right.
Well.
Sure. So long now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye-bye.
Concordia Visiting Nurses is a Medicare-certified home health agency offering services provided by healthcare professionals like registered and licensed practical nurses, physical, speech, and occupational therapists, home health aides, and many more. We also provide specialty services like palliative care and telehealth monitoring. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Do you love home cooking? Me too. And that's what Michael's Restaurant specializes in. From homemade soups to daily lunch and dinner specials and the legendary desserts. Every Friday night, Michael's features prime rib and crab legs for you to enjoy. Hungry for Italian food? Try Michael's Diablo pasta or seafood scampi. Michael's Restaurant, Newcastle Road.
In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866- 6-874-7483.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program. Some informative information there from Nefertari Moore on ovarian cancer. Well, we're going to shift gears and we're going to be talking with guests from the Butler County Chamber of Commerce on the next segment of the program today. First of all, Jordan Grady is with us. Jordan, good to see you as always.
Good to see you as well. Thanks for having us today.
Congratulations on your new position, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah? Yeah. Have you started?
Yes, I've been in the position for about a month.
Tell our listeners about your position.
So I'm the executive director of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, and my main focus is growing membership, membership retention, as well as event coordination.
And this is a new position, right? There hasn't been a person in this position before.
That is correct. This is the first executive director of the chamber since 1896.
Well, that goes back a ways.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you're settling in.
Definitely. Yep, yeah. Getting the hang of things now. Yeah. I think it's a good fit for both myself and the organization.
Also with us is Mark Buchik. Mark, you're on the Leadership Butler County Board, is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it a big board that supervises leadership Butler County?
My goodness, we have probably a good dozen or so board members. Yeah, so it is a big board. And we just met a few weeks ago to actually, map out and plan out some things for this upcoming year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you're about ready to start a new class.
Exactly. In about a week and a half or so, we usher in the new class. And that's one of the things Jordan failed to mention. He's actually graduating this year. So at the chamber dinner next Tuesday evening, he'll be one of the folks that'll be receiving their rewards, their plaque, and their certificate for graduating from this year's class.
I'll have to get your cap and gown for next week.
Absolutely. Where's the order format? Can be filled out
online? We got you covered, Jordan.
Also with us here in the studio is Charlie Johns with Butler County Children and Youth. Is it still the assistant director, Charlie? No, you have to update the website, you know that.
Yes.
It still says assistant.
We're in the process of.
Well, what's your connection with leadership? Why are you here today?
I'm the current board chair for Leadership Butler County in my second year.
Are you a past graduate of the program?
Graduate in 2014.
Mm-hmm. So some of our listeners will be familiar with Leadership Butler County. Some will not. Maybe we should explain it to them, Charlie.
So Leadership Butler County is a leadership development program for current and would-be future leaders from diverse areas of business, nonprofits, charitable organizations that come together, and a lot of them don't know each other when they get there, but they go through, I think, 11 sessions of classes, and during that time they're going through those development sessions, but they're also working on a class project as a team unit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that's probably the most critical piece of the program.
When I first heard about Leadership Butler County, I thought, well, that would be great for people who are new to the area. You know, maybe they're moving into Butler, having gotten a job here or something like that. But I've come to realize, Mark, that it's far beyond that. And this is a great program for people who have lived here all their lives.
Oh, very much so. And that's one of the things that makes the involvement in this group so unique and so special to everybody that goes through the program, is that, you know, the age range is very wide. The background is very wide. The folks that, like you said, Dave, that have been working in this county for years and years and years have never been involved in something like this. So you have some folks that are, you know, Butler County born and bred, and then you have some folks that have just moved into the area that don't know that much. Mm-hmm. But the really nice thing about the program is, whether you've been here all your life or only been here a few months, by the end of this program, you know Butler County inside and out. I mean, that's part of the way the program is designed and the way the board of directors, and especially Stan, you know, the direction that they move this program in.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Charlie said, there are, it depends on the year and how the calendar falls, but close to a dozen sessions. They meet once a month, generally speaking.
Right? Yes, once if not twice a month, yeah, depending on how we coordinate things throughout the year. So 1 month they could be in southern Butler County, you know, learning about everything that's going on in Cranberry. You know, the next month they could be up in where are the mines? I got to think where the mines, in Iron Mountain, and exploring what goes on in the mines in Boyers.
Suburban Boyers.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, that shows the diversity. I mean, you know, everybody thinks Cranberry is its own entity, and in some ways it is, but it's still part of Butler County. So again, we try to show them a little bit of everything, you know, in not only areas but industry, government. You know, the social side of it, the nonprofit side of it, everything that you can think of that goes on in Butler County, they're exposed to.
And if you want someplace that is its own entity, go underground to the mines up at Boyers.
That is for sure.
That is a world apart. Yeah. You think you're on a different planet when you're in there.
Yeah, it's a mini
city.
And
the members of the leadership group, they get to go in, right?
They very much so. Yeah. I still have my piece of limestone from when I was in the class.
So you're wrapping up a year,
I am,
Jordan.
Yes, yeah. Yes, and we did the mines tour too. It's an incredible place. There's a couple other stops within the year too that make you go, whoa, this is right here in Butler County. It's a great program.
Every leadership class votes on and picks a service project.
That's correct.
You're wrapping up your year, so tell our listeners about the project that your class decided upon.
So we decided to take on a project from Glade Run Adventures. We're in the process of, and just about done, replacing the horse arenas, both their indoor and their outdoor. They have a program that's tailored towards individuals with disabilities, mainly autism. And they are allowed to connect with the horse, learn to ride a horse, and it really just is used as a therapy to help treat those certain issues.
What's the name of the place again?
Glade Run Adventures. It's actually out on Glade Run's main campus in Zelianople.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened over the years is the footing in the arenas has worn down, and as a result, horses are suffering injuries that are taking way too much time to recover past normal time, or they're not able to recover, and it's actually ending those animals' career, for lack of a better term. So we decided to uptake that project and replace those, and we are nearing completion. Over the course of the year, we raised about $30,000 to do so, and we just hit our goal two Saturdays ago. We had a cornhole tournament at Michelle Krill.
We were advertising that. Yeah,
yeah. It ended up, it was a great day for us, and we covered what we needed, and now we have somewhat of a rainy day fund. So if, you know, the last contractor overbid or something else pops up, the hopes is that we can cover that expense too. So we're looking forward to finishing that and having a ribbon cutting type ceremony to kind of open the new arenas, and it's been awesome to be a part of the process.
What's the new surface? Because this is totally foreign to me. Is it like an artificial turf or something? What is it?
No, it's a special type of grain-like I forget the actual term of it, but it comes backed with, I believe, like a 30-year warranty. So that's good, and that just goes to show how long it's been since they've had that arena done. So we saw this project as something that was going to greatly impact individuals in our county.
This is a pretty expensive project, but that never deters the leadership of Butler County classes, does it, Mark?
No, it's always a challenge to try to do something that you try to keep money out of it, but you look first and foremost at the benefit that's going to come out of what project it is, and then money comes later. Mm-hmm. There's been so many different size projects over the year. Some that don't cost very much, and some that is more sweat equity, mm-hmm. so to speak, and others that are quite expensive. So there's more an emphasis on the fundraising aspect of it. But it's all for the future benefit of some organization here in Butler County.
Charlie Johns is president of the leadership board. I assume that you have to give the final the final imprimatur for these project plans?
Yes, and as of late, we've started to really focus on assuring that the project creates a team environment or something that they can actually put their hands on as a team and mm-hmm. as a class. So we were really happy with this year's project that it really involved a lot of on-the-job activity for this group. So it was nice seeing that come together. And some of the stories that they were sharing was that some of the staff members of Glade Run were helping them out. They were able to see the effect that project had on their own organization.
They were very actively involved, from the CEO, Stephen Green, down. Stephen came to pretty much everything related to the project, from the Labor Day to the murder mystery dinner to the cornhole tournament. So from the top down, we really had great help via Glade Run employees.
How did you ever hit on the idea for this project? It's a great one, but it's somewhat unique.
Yeah, so every year the class sends out like a proposal to all the nonprofit organizations within our reach, and then they're allowed to essentially apply for a project. So I think we had probably multiple project proposals we looked at, and then we narrowed it down to like the final three at one of the earlier leadership sessions, and then we kind of picked the Glade Run project and set it in stone, I think, at the December leadership session, which was at the Eagle when we decided, and then we dove right into it.
And of course, you're starting from square one. I mean, you had to look at vendors, decide what you were going to do, set a budget, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, our class, we had a lot of good proposals. In our class, we wanted to take a project that would be that we could put our name on it, and it was ours from start to finish. We had several proposals for projects that, were nearing completion or in the phase, middle of a phase of completion. We decided as a class that we wanted to start something and see it through to the finish, and that was mm-hmm. important to us, and that's one of the reasons we also went with Glade Run Adventures.
Just to your point, Charlie, that's just what you were talking about. You want to make sure that it's important and valuable to the team members as well. I know in past years, I'm trying to remember some of the projects, there was an outdoor education nature trail one of the sites of the Butler County Children's Center, I believe.
That's correct, yes.
And was there some sort of an outdoor grotto or a classroom or something at Mars Home for Youth on Mars?
Exactly. That was my class's year. I graduated as part of the class of 2015, and that was our project that year, was the outdoor learning pavilion, the PNC Learning Pavilion on the campus there at MHY in Mars.
In use right now, thanks to you guys, huh?
It is in use. I get such a kick out of driving by and looking over and seeing it there in the middle of campus. It's a reminder of a class that really went above and beyond to try to get that done. And when I see it in use, or I see things on MHY's website, photographs of people in there doing things and holding special services, it warms the heart a little bit. It really does. Mm-hmm. So, that's a visual reminder for me of something that I hold special and was part of.
We might point out that the roster is full for this year's leadership class. If you want to get on a waiting list for next year, you can do that.
Yes, yes. Dan at the Chamber, I think he already does have his list started for next year.
Yes, that's true.
Well, it's a popular thing.
Very much so.
I don't know how many years. It's at least 10 or 12 years, isn't it, that there's been leadership?
We were just speaking beforehand, Dave, and we're thinking this might be the 26th class.
Oh, my. I didn't realize
last year we were an anniversary year of 25.
Mm-hmm. So just think of all the people who live here now that have gone through this program. It's tremendous.
There's a lot. And it's interesting when we go to the chamber dinner or do some type of chamber function or something that involves the leadership class, because again, this year's class graduates next week, but there's always that you know, when somebody's introduced, they were introduced as part of the class of such and such a year. So yeah, there's a pride factor to having had the opportunity and the privilege to go through the class.
And of course, you need the cooperation of area businesses, because it does involve a few days that they're going to be off work to go to the leadership meeting for that month. So
Right. Obviously
businesses, business owners, and supervisors recognize the value of this.
No, very much so. I mean, and it's a part of the growth of their employee, and I believe they recognize that, and they are willing to give up that time that is required for their employee to go through the program.
And it's good for you too, right, Jordan? I mean, I'm sure that there were people in the class that you were in for the past year that you did not know started out.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely made some solid professional connections, but even better is that I've made new friends, you know, golf buddies, people to go get a drink after work, people that I can always go to if I need help with anything. You know, you work together with that group, especially when it's project time, almost every day. So we really got to know each other, and that's the best part of the program is the camaraderie that comes from the class.
Mm-hmm. I need to check with my producer here. Do I need to take another break? I'm okay? Okay, good. So this year's class will be starting, well, it's September already, Mark, so I'm assuming
September
they'll be meeting soon.
September 19th is the first session, yes.
Yeah, and do we know what that is yet?
The first session, it is just an introduction to the program. You know, Charlie will be there. I will be there, as well as some other board members, to kind of walk them through what they're going to experience over the next 12 months. So we kind of do that the first day, have a couple of icebreakers, you know, do some history on Butler County. Mm-hmm. And then the next day actually starts their formal training as part of the program.
History of Butler County, that would be interesting.
Yes, and I'm trying to remember who we have on the agenda to do that. So that would be the second morning. The first night concludes with a mixer with past graduates as well. So you get to see on that first day volumes of people from the prior classes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is always nice, too. And one thing, before I forget it, because I was thinking as we were talking about the projects, really think that a lot of us are in fields that don't really get to see a final tangible product. We sit and work with people and maybe not see an outcome. And some of these projects we get to look at and say, that's going to be there for a while, or that's going to be there forever, and we did that. And to do that with a group that you didn't know a year prior is pretty powerful.
And, of course, there's the whole procedure of having to, once you select a project, to raise the funds that are necessary for it. As Mark said, some of them are pretty big projects. Some are smaller, but just as important. Yeah,
that is true.
Down through the years. And you have to meet for a couple of times before you're really ready to decide on that. You got to kick it around a little bit.
Right.
I guess, huh?
And I'll throw in, Mark thankfully pulled up the agenda. It's Bob Dandoy, who does the history of Butler County, and it's a good session.
I know Bob. He's an educator, former teacher at both the high school and college levels.
So. Yes, he was a Carn City teacher, so I was one of his students.
That's right. He taught at Carn City, and I believe he's taught at Slippery Rock and at BC3 as well,
as an
adjunct professor. Butler County was split off from Allegheny County, as I recall. That's about all the history I could give you off the top of my head. We're talking about Leadership Butler County. It's a wonderful program that operates under the umbrella of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. Is there a cost, by the way, whenever somebody goes through this program? Is there a fee?
There is a fee associated with it. I believe the fee this year was $1,500?
I believe it was either $1,500 or $1,600, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there is a fee that's associated with the program.
But you visit a number of different places, number of businesses, number of parts of the county. You get to meet a lot of people.
And that's primarily what the fee goes towards, is covering mm-hmm. the costs of the transportation and you know, some of the food along the way.
And the board has a discretion, too, to give out a certain number of scholarships for nonprofits or organizations that may not be able to afford that amount as easily.
I know some of the stops in recent years have been terrific. The Mario Lemieux UPMC Center down in Cranberry. Go in there and look around. Eyeball that place. That would be great.
And I think that all of these stops, by the end of it, if you're a graduate of Leadership Butler County and you did not have a positive view of our community before, you definitely gain that as you proceed through the classes, that this is a great place to live, work, and be part of.
Hmm. Talking with Charlie Johns, Mark Busick. Also, Jordan, I forgot to ask you, there's is it the Celebrate Business Dinner that's coming up in the near future, Jordan? Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's actually next Tuesday the 10th. We are nearing maximum capacity, and potentially by the time I get back to the office today, we'll probably be filled up once I get through the emails. It kicks off at 5:30, and it's at Slippery Rock University. It always ends up being just an unbelievable night. It's highlighted by two awards, and this year our committees have chosen two unique. Well, one's an organization and one would be an individual. But we're giving the William A. Morgan Jr. Entrepreneur of the Year Award to Tom Taylor of Fairground Market.
Mm. Great guy.
Yeah, oh yeah, great guy, great place.
Makes good food, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then I believe this is the first year that we voted to change the Business of the Year Award. It's now going to be the David L. Loy Memorial. Is that is the correct terminology? Yeah, that is the correct terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to go to the County of Butler, and it's going to be highlighted with the group of commissioners to accept the award on behalf of the entire county. Obviously, they've done just a phenomenal job over their first 3.5-4 years.
Well, these honors, they're pretty prestigious, and they're named after some pretty good people. The late Bill Morgan. Anybody know him?
I never had the pleasure of meeting him, but I've heard plenty of things about him, yes.
He's a pretty interesting, was a pretty interesting guy, very friendly guy, and what an innovator, what an entrepreneur. To name the Entrepreneur of the Year Award after him is just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And David Lloyd, of course, had a business supply store downtown mm-hmm. Butler for many, many, many years, many generations. So that's coming up be a week from tonight.
Yeah, week from
next
tonight.
Tuesday.
And then, of course, we'll honor the leadership graduates of this year.
Mm-hmm. And there might be a few seats left, but maybe not, huh?
I highly doubt it, yeah. Typically, there won't be any seats that night.
Yeah, it usually ends up being a full house because mm-hmm. it is a very well-attended event.
Yeah.
And nice place to have it up at the Smith Center. I was in that for the first time a year or so ago, and it was an eye-opener. I know it had been there for a while. It just took me a while to get there. In fact, I was there for a dinner. It was magnificent.
Well, Chris Cole, who runs the operations up there, you know, you talk about Leadership Butler County, he and I were in the Leadership Butler County class together. So there's a connection that I have through that class.
Mm-hmm. Some of the hospitality majors, I think, at The Rock were helping out there, too. And that was nice.
Yeah, it's a nice facility.
Wonderful place. Well, I have the opportunity, Charlie Johns, what's new at the Children and Youth Agency here in Butler County? You guys busy as usual?
Yes. We're riding the wave of some interesting things that are going on within the county, but we are to the point now where I really believe, and this is, and Jordan mentioned, the commissioners have really helped our office out extensively, and I think that we're at a better place now than ever, resource wise, to help this community and protect children to the best ability we can.
I know that the we've heard a lot about the opioid crisis over the last, especially the last 2 or 3 years now, and I know that that has impacted your agency a tremendous amount.
Yes, and I would go even further to say that it's not just that particular drug now. I think that we're starting to see a more of a depth of use of things that we might have heard from the past. It's new, but if you've been in our field for long enough, you know that this sort of goes in trends. So that would be one that is going on now.
Children and Youth Agency able to protect young people whose welfare may be in danger because of parents who were battling addiction problems or
yes,
opioid problems or any other problems too. And gosh, we need your agency and your people so desperately in this day and age. There's a tragic story down in Allegheny County of a little missing girl. I'm sure most of you have heard of it over the past several days. Sad things.
Yes. Yeah, and I just am thankful that our community has the staff that it does to be able to deal with some of these things. Mark and I were Jordan and I were talking out in the lobby about how there are other agencies within Pennsylvania that have open positions that are not filled, that they need workers to do the jobs that we do. And luckily, within our county, we have a pretty stable workforce, and I'm glad to have that.
And thank our social service professionals for the job that they do. It's not easy work, I'll tell you that. Not easy at all. Gosh, nice to talk with all of you today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Here.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Mark Busick, who is on the board of Leadership Butler County, the board of directors, the president of the board, also with us. Charlie Johns, who is the director of the Butler County Children and Youth Agency. And Jordan Grady, who is the new executive director of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. Good to see you all.
Good to see you as well.
Thanks, Dave.
I'll send you back out to that beautiful summer day, huh?
Yes.
I'll take it.
Nice. You left.
I was debating that point with somebody today here at the station. They said, well, we had some nice weather the past couple of weeks. I said, the temperatures were mostly in the low 70s. It wasn't bad, but the normal high in August is still like 81. Mm-hmm. We're there today.
It feels
like summer. Always happens, doesn't it, day after Labor Day? It starts feeling like summer again. Thanks for being here, guys. Good to see you.
Thank you, Dave.
A couple of program notes. We've got Pirate Baseball again tonight. The Pirates are red hot, in case you haven't noticed. They've won 8 out of 10. They've won 4 in a row, coming off a sweep of Colorado. They play Miami tonight. We'll have the game here on WISR, airtime 6:40. And don't forget, we'll have the Steelers on Sunday night. Bill Hillgrove will be calling the live radio play-by-play of the Steelers-New England game right here on WISR Sunday night. That's a Sunday night game. Well, thanks for being with us today. We thank our earlier guests, Ben Kilbride, associate editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac. We got it from the horse's mouth, what the winter's going to be like here in western Pennsylvania. Maybe not so bad. A little more snow than usual. Maybe not as cold as usual. Well, that's what the almanac says anyway. And also thanks to Nafari Tari Moore talking to us about ovarian cancer today. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:30.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.